It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe this is the last show of 2018. Where did 2018 go? Now, I know I'm starting to sound like my grandparents or parents. I promise I would never do that, but here I am doing that. For my running friends, thank you for the great turnout from the various Jingle Bell arthritis runs. We had a great turnout, and it's a little known fact, but more youth are affected by juvenile arthritis than juvenile diabetes, and there are 300,000 people, adults in New Hampshire, affected by doctor-diagnosed arthritis, and it definitely is something we have to address. It is the number one cause of disability in America, one out of four people. Looking ahead, January 1st, we have the Millennium Mile in Londonderry. And for those of my running friends, that's the last race of the 2018 Millennium Running Points, Delta Dental Points Chase standing. So it's a little confusion, but yes, even though it is in January of 2019, it actually counts for the Delta Dental Points Chase for 2018. So now shifting gears, my annual guest is Jeannie Giralskis, who's the executive director of the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center. Thank you, Jeannie, for the annual visit. Starhop.com, right?
That's right, Tom. Thanks for having me again.
And again, everybody knows this story, but when Jeannie was looking to relocate from Alaska, I was on the original search committee now about 23 years ago. And I guess we made the right hire since you're here two decades later, correct?
Yes, and it feels like three different jobs, from running a planetarium to running a science museum, then to transitioning it to a nonprofit science museum.
Exactly. And so I'm going to ask you to explain that. I know we have some specific things we want to talk about, but let me just start with the mission. The McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center's mission is to inspire every generation to reach for the stars through engaging, artful, and entertaining activities that explore astronomy, aviation, Earth, and space science. And the vision is that the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center is a sustainable memorial that will engage minds, making learning fun, and inspire people of all ages to pursue lifelong learning about our universe. So tell us about the transition where you're basically now independent, but take us through, 20 years in about 3 minutes. How's that?
Okay. Well, when I first came to Concord, New Hampshire, the Kristen McAuliffe Planetarium is where I settled in to run the place. And the same year that I started, Alan Shepard passed away. And so I spoke with Kristen McAuliffe's mother to see how she would feel about us sharing a dedication with Alan Shepard and Kristen McAuliffe. And she said that Alan Shepard was Krista's hero. Krista thought the world of her fellow New Englander, and he was actually the one that inspired her to go into space. And so based on that, we started a long journey of fundraising, thought we'd do it in a couple of years. And it took, 8 years from when we started to when we broke ground. And then we opened up the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center on March 6, 2009. And thanks to Northeast Delta Dental, we were able to offer people free admission all weekend for the first weekend. And then, unfortunately, when we broke ground, it was right in the middle of the greatest recession since the Great Depression. And so at that point, the state was having trouble funding some of its initiatives and wasn't able to fully support a science museum. So what we did is gathered a group of people together to incorporate a new nonprofit, and we worked out an agreement with the state of New Hampshire where they retained ownership of the actual buildings and grounds and leased it to the nonprofit, and the nonprofit is responsible for running a science museum. So the first week we'd say, day one, we're still here. Day two, we're still here. And Tom, now it's year six and we're still here, and we're just really excited about the 250,000 people that we've served in our 6 years of being a nonprofit operation.
That's awesome. You've wrapped up your sixth year and serving 250,000 people It's great, and including the Veterans Day free with support from Northeast Delta Dental. But that is, I'm big into veterans oral health care, and the more we can do for our veterans, the better. So thank you for, you know, for doing that. So let's talk about your great board. So you, I know Paul Burkett is termed out, but he's still very active on the board. But tell us about your new officers.
Yes, well, we had a wonderful time with Paul Burkett as chair. But he, as you said, term limits. So he has stepped down from being chair, but he's very involved and just a wonderful board member. And then for the chair, who started up October 1, is Bruce Andrews. He's a retired aerospace executive, and he is just ready to run with this new position. Vice chair is Dr. Steve Davis, and he just retired as the chief scientist from Physical Sciences, Inc. down in Andover. Our treasurer is Laura Provo, and she is a financial advisor and principal at Altus Investments here in Concord. And then our secretary is Steve Lundquist, who's the senior program manager and senior manager of flight operations for Elbit Systems of America, formerly known as Colesman. Then we've been working on bringing on some new, very dynamic board members. So Walt Havenstein, who's been on the board since, I think, 2014 or 2015, he chairs our Nominating and Governance Committee, and he spearheaded bringing on some new board members. So we've just had three great people join the board. That includes Beverly Bruce from Wolfboro. She's the founder of and business consultant to Fortune 500 companies with the Bruce Group. And then David Cuzzy is president of Prospect Hill Strategies. And Michael Cusack is contracts manager for BAE Systems.
There you go. It's kind of the who's who of technology and finance. And of course, Walt ran for governor a few years ago as well. So in any event, that's great. I think it's so important. You know, I'm a big believer in proper and robust governance. And I think when you have a great board, obviously, the board management alignment really speaks to the keeping a thriving organization. So I salute you and congratulate you on that. So before we get into the programming for 2019, tell us how the average citizen, if you will, if there is such a person, can help, as well as corporations, because obviously you do certainly, I know, rely on memberships and sponsorships and tickets as well, but why it's so important that it takes a village. So why don't you describe how someone can get involved?
Sure. Well, we have a number of ways people can get involved. First of all, start with starhop.com, our website, or you can look us up on Facebook and find out more about the organization. We have, if you're interested in helping financially support us, just our general operations, you can go to starhop.com/donate. But if you'd like to find out more about our specific initiatives, you can get a hold of me and I can tell you about all the different things we do that may interest you in terms of supporting or being involved. We are always looking for volunteers. We have about 10,000 kids a year come from schools all over, and we really love having our volunteers greet the kids and do science demos for them and help them understand more about the exhibits that we have. And then for our general public, it's wonderful to have the docents on the weekends and during the week. So if people want to volunteer, that's also a wonderful option. And then, of course, being a member means you're part of the family and you get to come as many times as you want to in a year for free and also to as many planetarium shows as you can.
I'm sure one of the challenges, I'm guessing, is that everybody has their iPhone at their disposal. Someone asks a question. In the old days, you would have to, research at the library. Now someone has a question, you Google it, and recognizing not everything on the internet is accurate. But everybody's in this kind of like immediate satisfaction mode. Plus, people can go on the internet and see things. So how do you keep it so like the average young person knows that the Discovery Center is a step above maybe what they can get on their iPhone or the internet in general?
Well, let's see. One of the things we do is hire excellent staff. So we've got three members now with degrees in museum studies, both bachelor's and master's degrees. And they keep track of what's going on all the time. We've got a wonderful group of volunteers who come out once a month with their own telescopes to look at the night sky. And they've been doing this for 29 years now, the New Hampshire Astronomical Society, every month. And they are very wise about what's going on, how stars are made, what to look for when the comets are here. But one of the things I think is endemic to humans is our social nature, and we really enjoy learning together as a group. So that's one of the things that we really facilitate at the McCullough-Shepard Discovery Center, is people learning together as teams. So when we design exhibits, we design some exhibits that you can just, you know, you can read the information and then move along. But most of the exhibits involve active physical and intellectual learning, and they're better with teams. When you have a few exhibits with a few different people all working on them together, you can bring up questions that you don't have yet an answer to, and then look a little further, talk to our staff, talk to our docents. So it's a community learning experience where there are questions that if you're sitting alone in your room looking at Stellarium, which is a wonderful free software, you may not think of the questions that your colleagues might think of.
I love that. And that's the balance, I think, just in general in terms of education, finding that balance between online learning and sort of the learning that takes place when you have a dialogue face-to-face with another human being. So that's great to hear. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio and Gene Jurolskis. Here we are, the 29th and 30th. Starhop.com, and Jeannie's been over two decades the executive director of the McCullough-Shepard Discovery Center, going through some transitions that she described prior to commercial break, when it began as the Krista McAuliffe Planetarium and now has segued into its own standalone not-for-profit. So, Jean, so a lot of people will be listening to this on the 29th and 30th and 31st. So just tell us when you're open. I know you're closed on New Year's Day, but tell us the office hours generally.
Sure. Well, as far as our museum goes, we're open from 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st. And then we go into our regular hours, which are for the public, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., for schools, we're open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from about 9 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. And then our office hours are Monday through Friday, anywhere from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. So you can usually find us there. Just ring the doorbell if the doors are locked if you need us for business.
Somebody knocking at the door. There's a song there. That's great. Yeah. No, and it's great. And, of course, I'm a frequent. I mean, our Northeast Delta Dental building's right across the bridge, so it's great to see the bustle of activity. If I'm a school principal or superintendent or teacher, and I've never brought my kids to the Discovery Center, how do you coordinate that?
Well, teachers, superintendents are more than welcome to just come in for free and check out the place to see what the kids will be getting into, but they just have to call up 271-7827. And speak to our wonderful staff in visitor services to line up a trip, and they will tell them everything they need to know about. And our website tells about the different shows that are available. There are more shows available for the schools than the general public because we change the shows out for the public, but the schools have the whole menu to choose from. And then we have a variety of exhibit-centered activities, discovery experiences for kids that the teachers and their administrators can select as well.
Great. And one other thing I wanted to have you comment on is if I'm a leader in a corporation and I want to do a mini retreat, you know, can you rent out some space at the Discovery Center? And also if I'm doing a social event, whether it's a reception for another not-for-profit or maybe even a wedding, is all that still doable?
Oh, absolutely. We rent the entire facility out, and we rent rooms in the facility. So if you want to rent while we're open to the public, you can rent our function room or our board room or a couple of other available spaces. And then we rent the entire facility out for weddings, bar mitzvahs, corporate Christmas parties, you name it, class reunions. We've had weddings, we've had funerals, we've had political town halls. So we rent for a variety of occasions.
Great. And they would just call? They would just call?
Yeah.
Just give us that phone number again.
603-271-7827.
Great.
And one other fun thing we do is scout overnight. So kids can stay overnight with their parents all night on a Friday or Saturday night. And we've recently got some inquiries from adults who want to have an all-night
experience. Sleepover for adults?
Yeah.
Do they wear scuffies on their feet?
Absolutely. And we have chaperones.
Okay, good. We need to. That's hilarious. Well, it's a great. It is a great. I've been to many after-hour functions there, receptions. It's definitely puts you in the right frame of mind, and it's a great jewel. I can also say when. As most of you know in the listening audience, we are an independent company, but there are other Delta companies across the country, and occasionally they come to New Hampshire to do some benchmarking. And one of the things that we always bring them over to the Discovery Center and the Flume are the two things that people want to do the most. So anyway, I think it's sometimes I hear this a lot from New Hampshire residents. Oh, I've never been to the Discovery Center. I've never been to the Flume. I'm thinking we've got this jewel like right here. So please, if you've not been to the Discovery Center, it's so easy to get to. You see the big rocket. You know, it's 12 minutes from the Hooksett toll booth, and you'll be there. Easy to get to. Lots of parking. So if you're a New Hampshire resident and you haven't gone to the Discovery Center, please do. Now, I know one of the things you pride yourself too, in addition to serving the great New Hampshire schools and the citizens of New Hampshire, you're also really national in scope. And you may not have this off the top of your head, but there's not an insignificant percentage of your guests, clients, that come from out of state, correct?
Absolutely. We have about 74% of the people who come to the Discovery Center are from New Hampshire, but that leaves a quarter of the people who visit are from all over the U.S., and then we've had people from New Zealand and from Germany and just from everywhere except Antarctica. I don't think we've had Antarctica or Greenland yet.
All right. Well, we'll work on that. So, Dave McGilvery did 7 marathons in 7 days, starting with Antarctica. So maybe he'll count. I'll get him up here. So
all right, great.
So let's quickly outline the 2019 exhibitions, starting with Math Moves. And again, that puts a big smile on my face because of everybody knows that the importance of STEAM or STEM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. So tell us about that.
Well, this has been a wonderful exhibition. We brought Math Moves in last May. We were just supposed to have it through September 3, but the Science Museum of Minnesota, who put the exhibit together, they let us keep it through January 16. So it's our first exhibition on mathematics, and it's a really fun full-body experience learning about math and learning to love math. Because when you're a little kid, you love math. When you get older, sometimes you get intimidated. So this is a way to put the fun back in it.
And that's so important. And I urge you parents, never, never say in front of your kids, well, I wasn't good at math, so don't worry about it. Because it really is the language of what you have to understand in today's analytical world. Most of our jobs, for example, at Northeast Delta Dental, is no longer clerical. You've got to know the math, and to see the joy in math, they're almost getting it by osmosis, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. Tell us now about the virtual fish tank. That was one I was intrigued about.
Yeah, well, this is really fun. Our friends down at the Museum of Science in Boston are redoing some of their exhibit halls. And so one of the exhibits they have is the virtual fish tank, and it's a full room where you have all different stations. And you can work by yourself or in teams of kids and adults, families, at the different stations to create different sea creatures, to have them have different experiences that go different directions, make their, like, too many predators, not enough prey, and they can do battle. So
that's too funny.
And so they are so wonderful. They have decided that they are going to give us this exhibition. And it's a wonderful exhibition. We're gonna need some help with some of the costs of moving it from Boston to New Hampshire, and with setting up you need a whole server room to handle all of the
IT setup.
Yeah, the IT setup for this. So we certainly could use help with this. So as soon as we have all the funding to bring it up here, we should be able to open it. Our goal is to have it at least up and running by February vacation.
Perfect. So if you're interested in helping to fund that and support that, call Jeannie at 271-7827.
Yes.
So 1969, I remembered vividly, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. So that means that it's the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. So tell us about that.
Well, that I was at Tucker Pond in Warner, New Hampshire, when Neil Armstrong took his first steps on the moon. Everyone in the whole cottage had gathered around. And it turned out that that happened all over the world. Wherever there was a television station or a radio, everybody knew humanity's highest achievement happened July 20, 1969, up to that point where human beings walked on the face of the moon. So we're going to be celebrating that in the coming year. We are going to do our first major in-house exhibition, and it's going to be about the past, present, and future of lunar science and lunar exploration. We've got all kinds of things planned just in-house so far, thinking about building a full-scale model of part of the moon that kids can climb on that will be accurate with respect to the sizes of the craters and the mountains of the moon. We'll have big lunar puzzles that teams will have to work together on putting all the pieces together. We're going to work with the team at UNH that is involved with the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter NASA mission. So it's going to be a big, big, fun exhibition.
That's one I'm not going to miss. I was 12 or 13 then, and I can, like you can remember every second of that July date. So that's going to be a lot of fun. First Fridays, you have exhibit galleries are open. Tell us briefly what that's like.
Yeah, well, the first Friday of every month from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., the McAuliffe-Shepherd Discovery Center is open. We generally have a special program. If it's a clear night, we open up our observatory. And also the New Hampshire Astronomical Society, for 29 years now, every first Friday night, they have been at the Discovery Center. As long as there are clear skies, without fail, they are there with their telescopes. So people can just look outside. They don't have to pay to get in. They can just meet with the amateur astronomers and look at the rings of Saturn and the moons of Jupiter and whatever wonders are in the night sky. And then if they want to come into the Discovery Center, they can engage in the programs that we line up.
Then we can debate, too, is Pluto a planet or not? We'll save that for another day. And finally, the Aerospace Festival for Families. We won't have time to get into it today, but that's Saturday, May 4th. We'll have to have you back. My friends out there, starhop.com, 271-7827. Jeannie, thanks for all you do to keep the Discovery Center always refreshed and something that we're proud to have in New Hampshire.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you for your support.